How many are happy tonight? Amen. Glory to God. At least 80%. Amen. Would you turn to Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter? And verse 29, Moses said, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." You're happy. You're happy because the Lord's fighting for you. Amen. And then Jeremiah 17 and verse number 7, it says, "Blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Amen. And then Psalms 144. Psalms 144 and verse number 15. "Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Amen. There should be no happier people on the face of the earth than God's people. He didn't take us out of all of the circumstances, but, you know, He prepared a table in the presence of our enemies. He anointeth us with oil. Amen. Our cup does run over. God has blessed us over and over again. Lord, we ask your blessing and anointing upon your word. We ask God that we have the joy of the Lord in this place tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I looked up the word happy in this verse, and I was absolutely amazed at what it said. It meant happy. Yeah. It's a Hebrew word, esher, meaning happiness, or how happy to be straight, to be honest, to be prosperous. How happy, straight, honest, and prosperous is that people whose God is the Lord. Amen. Psalms 146 and 5 says, "Happy is he that hath God for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Most people in life never ever experience true joy and happiness. Most of them are frustrated. Most of them go from day to day hoping that somehow happiness and good things will come to them. Not that they haven't pursued happiness all their life, but it eludes them. It's always an arm's length away from them, and they never get to that place. I heard this morning that the woman who won the Mega Million lottery for $560 million was unhappy because she signed the back of her ticket instead of putting the money into a trust that wouldn't identify her, and now everybody knows that she's rich and she's very unhappy. Aw, poor baby. I also heard today that Yale University introduced a new course on how to be happy. There was a psychologist, a professor, who decided that she was going to teach this course on how to be happy, and it said that 80% of the college students signed up. They were just absolutely amazed. They had to move the class into the largest auditorium they had because there were so many people who wanted to know how they could get happy. So you're accepted to an Ivy League college. Most likely dad paid for, you know, the tuition or somebody else. And future is bright. Got everything going for you. And you're trying to figure out, how in the world can I be happy? You know? Years ago, some brilliant person developed a talking fish. Big mouth, Billy Bath. Amen. It was a rubber fish that was on a plaque, and if you pushed a button, the head would move towards you, and it would start singing a song. Don't worry, be happy, you know. And then the second song was, get me to the river, you know. Put me in the water. We know about that. Put me in the water, and I'm going to be happy. I think they sold about a million of these fish, you know, and all because people wanted to know how to become happy. Amen. Glory to God. Imagine a fish doing a special. Now, people listen to Big Mouth Billy Bath, but they're not listening to the voice of God. You know? What's wrong with that? A million people buying a rubber fish. Amen. But they want somebody to tell them, don't worry, be happy. Now, I've said over the years, over and over again, God has created us with a void inside of us that cannot be filled with anything except God. And people try to get happy by all kinds of things. It doesn't matter how much you've accumulated. It doesn't matter who knows your name. It doesn't even matter how healthy you are. But if you have God, you can be happy in any circumstances. I'm convinced of it, absolutely. Amen. When I came into the church, there was this popular worldly song that said, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, don't make a pretty woman your wife. This is my personal point of view. Get an ugly girl to marry you. Now, I'm a pretty happy guy, but I didn't go for the ugly girl. But I was thinking, God must have really, he must really be happy because he married some pretty ugly people, me being one of them, you know? But what puzzles me is how many people are not happy in the church. See, I understand why people are not happy outside the church. They don't have a future. They have this guilt complex. There's condemnation. But we have been set free, folks. We have won the Mega Millions. All of our dreams have come true. We've got a God who said he's going to take care of us. Amen. Would you turn to Acts 25? Acts 25 and verse 27. Verse 27 says, "For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not with all to signify the crimes laid against him." Verse 1 of that 26th chapter, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul, stretching forth the hand, and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews." Now, here's Paul thrown into a prison. And I've said this before, we went to Rome, we saw the prison that he was in. It wasn't like what we go to at RCI. This is just like a cave with a hole at the top where they drop food down in it. He's accused of something that he had nothing to do with. He didn't have a lawyer. He didn't have any rights. How could Paul be happy, treated harshly? His freedom was taken from him. And he didn't know from day to day whether or not he was going to be executed. And I'm sure there were some who said, tomorrow, you're going to be executed. His happiness was not based on the current circumstances of his life, but that he was in the perfect will of God, and his confidence was in God, not in his captors. When we get to that place where things go wrong with us, we need to understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that our lives are in the hands of God, and we are in the perfect will of God, and have confidence in him. In 1 Peter 3 and 14, it says this, "But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled at all." 1 Peter 4 and 14 says, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of the glory of God resteth upon you." So what God is telling us here is when we are in that situation where people are coming against us, and every one of us have that experience from time to time as we demonstrate that we are Christians, and God's saying, hey, listen, you ought to be happy because the Spirit of God is resting upon you. You are rewarded. And I'm wondering if Paul understood that. Okay, I'm in prison. I'm being accused of something that I'm not guilty of. And so he said, I think myself happy. You know, Agrippa didn't understand that. It's all about our perspective and the comfort that we receive from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is like an anesthetic. You can go through just about anything. If you're feeling the presence of God and have confidence in what the Word of God says, and that God is in the middle of your life. Think about the time that you felt God's Spirit the most. Just think about one of those services, or even think about when you got the Holy Ghost, what it was like, how you felt. Were you afraid of anything? Could you ever be more happy or more content than the moment when you're almost paralyzed by the presence of God? God is the remedy for everything. Amen. He is. Amen. Faith and fear are like oil and water. They just don't mix. When you have the faith of God, when you believe that God is there for you, God's going to be your help in a difficult situation, well, then fear has to go. Fear and faith will never mix. We are the first person to know when something is wrong with our health, right? You don't have to go to a doctor and say, hey, tell me what my problem is. You generally already know what your problem is because there's an instinct, or there's feeling, or there is pain in your body. We know when we are sick. If you're a man, you ignore it and think it just will go away. You know, women aren't just exactly like that. But if the doctor informs you of your sickness, you then start to take it seriously and you're looking for something that's going to help you, ignorance and denial do not change the reality of your sickness. Relief is only found in a remedy to the sickness or the problem that you have. Now, this is not only true of the physical, but it's also true of the spiritual being as well. This world is a sin-sick world. People in need of a cure who have ignored and are in denial of their condition. I know I'm not right with God. I know what you're saying, but I'm going to ignore it. I know there's something in my inner self, conscience, that says there's something wrong with me, but I'm just going to deny that. Their conscience is the first to tell them that they are sick, but they have no remedy, so they seek other methods in order to be happy. I don't want to go your route. I don't want to see the great physician. I don't want to go to the house that you go to for a remedy, so I'm going to seek a remedy of getting happy and content and fulfilled in another way. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans, the 3rd chapter. I'm not preaching long tonight, if you'll listen real quick. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 1. It says, "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" You know, if there's enough people that don't believe in God and the precepts of God, will God change his mind, or there won't be consequences? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abound through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come. Whose damnation is just? What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So you can't get good in order to get God. You don't get well until you go to the physician. You got to do something. You can't ignore it. You can't deny it. Some of us did for years. I'm all right. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe in God. That's enough. You know, we justify somehow that we don't have to do anything about what, you know. I know I'm preaching to the choir right now. Is the choir here, by the way? Okay. But we have to do something. Paul, in writing here, was to show the inherent sinfulness of the Jews. That the Jews who were under the law had no remedy for their sin. Okay, I'm doing the law, but the law didn't save them. They had no remedy. They had no solution. They were just doing the things that the law required, but the law had no salvational value to it. It just postponed the penalty of sin. There was no clear conscience because of the law, and therefore they weren't happy. People in the Old Testament weren't happy. They got legalistic. They started counting the cost, the letters, the every little bit, but you weren't happy. They didn't think religion could make you happy, and the fact is religion can't. Relationship can make you happy. Verse 1, it said, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? If you're following all the laws, but you don't have a relationship with the one who governs the law, it doesn't bring any contentment or happiness to you. David said the same thing. Turn to Psalms 14, please. Psalms 14, verse number 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone astray. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So we find that when God surveyed the world, there weren't any people who were good enough in order to be saved, and therefore everybody needs a Savior. Paul said in Romans 3 and 23, very familiar to us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6 and 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not through the law, not through just being faithful to church, but the gift of God, his gift is his life, his blood for us. That ends the curse of the law, if you will. Here is the question of the millennium. How can anybody be happy, I mean really happy and content, with a death sentence hanging over them? Everybody is on death row outside of the church, knowing that one day there's a death sentence on them. I'm not just talking about leaving this world, but a death sentence. The devastating effect of sin is a total separation from God. And God is our only hope for a future, and without God, it leaves people in fear of their future. When I went home that night, that Sunday night, after receiving the Holy Ghost, I have never, ever felt the peace of God like I felt that night, knowing that my future was secure, knowing that I was in the hands of Almighty God and I was close to God. It's our only hope. And people without that hope, they have this fear, they have this death sentence hanging over them, and no matter what they do, in order to bring some kind of content, that's why they want a different reality, whether it's drugs or alcohol or relationships or throwing themselves into work, thinking that through this process they can be content and they can be happy, but there's still this death sentence that hangs over them, that they'll never actually get peace. And those who have obtained a lot of these things, they still aren't happy. $560 million and you're angry, you know? Fear of sickness, fear of tomorrow, not knowing what's going to happen. You know, when God enters in to you and you have had your sins washed away, then all of the tomorrows are God's, not ours. And we don't have to worry about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added on. And don't take thought for tomorrow. That's what it says in verse 34 of that sixth chapter. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Be happy. If a fish knows it. Glory to God. Here, take that fish, will you? It's been out of water for a long time. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 and verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So we find that the only thing that can separate us from God is our sins. Omission, commission, and that's why every day we need to say, God, if there's something going on in my life, I do not want to be separated from you. Because our contentment, our happiness, our security is knowing that it's all right between us, you see. Yes, Paul had a death sentence hanging over him, but he said, I think myself happy. You see, his death sentence was because of man, not God. And there is a huge difference. Somebody can threaten us. The Bible says, fret not about evildoers. You know, you can have a man's threat over you, but when you've taken care of the situation of a death sentence that has been removed by the Lord Jesus Christ, that the gift of God is eternal life, you can't do this unless Jesus says it's okay, folks. Amen. This world needs a remedy. A remedy for the fear of death, a remedy for sadness, a remedy for a clear conscience, a remedy for guilt and for unhappiness. This world so desperately needs to be happy that 80% of these kids who are going to Yale University want to know more than calculus, more than engineering, more than anything else. They want to, please tell me, how can I be happy? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. That's why song service is so important. How can you be happy in life with the feeling something is wrong with you, you know? And they will not come to the house of God for a complete examination, but more importantly, come for a cure, the remedy for their soul sickness. I'm always amazed that I'm giving out all of these handkerchiefs. We're anointing them and sending them to people who have sicknesses, and some of them are just absolutely devastating sicknesses, but they won't come to the house of God. You know? I know it's a wonderful thing that we can send handkerchiefs to people, but you know what? If you're really desperate, come on. More healings happen in the house of God than they do someplace else. Remember how depressed you were when you got the Holy Ghost? No, your death sentence was commuted, expunged, eradicated. And you felt free like you had never felt free in your entire life. And now we are no longer under that guilt of sin, but we are happy to be free. Amen. Turn to James chapter 1 and verse 25. James 1, 25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein." So, okay, you continue in it. "He being not a forgetful hearer, but doer of the work, this man shall be blessed," and that word blessed is happy in his deed. So, that's why the happiest people in the church are those who hear the preaching of God's word and then act upon the word of God. They will be happy indeed, you know? I want to line up to the perfect law of liberty, and I want to be happy. Happiness can only come through salvation. It is the remedy for all people to be happy. And we, as an Acts 2:38 church, should be happier than anybody in the entire world. We have had our sins remitted. God not only washed away our sins, but he has completely forgotten them, made provision for us, took care of us, protected us, heals our bodies. We have a future of eternity on streets of gold. It's going to be absolutely outstanding. And how can we be in the mully grubs when God has given us so much? Amen. Even Billy Bass knows that. He says, "Get me to the water." Don't worry. Somebody in here is worried about something. Don't worry. Be happy. God's got it covered. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I think it was about the second year that I was in the church. It was a summer when my pastor was just, boy, he was preaching hard. He was just preaching hard. And I was glad. But I said to my wife, we were driving out of the subdivision, I said, "You know what, I think I lost my sense of humor." You know? I'm just not as happy a guy as I used to be. And sometimes hard preaching can do that to you, you know. But my God is a gentle God. He is merciful. He loves you more than you can imagine. And he wants us to be happy. He's come to give us life and life more abundantly. He's not in the takeaway business. He is in the addition business. All he's saying is, "Won't you live for me? Amen. Won't you do what's right? And when you do a good job, don't you feel good? When you're involved in the things of God, you don't come to church and you feel guilty about what's going on. You're excited because you're looking for God's reward, God's blessing." Amen. Amen. There's some people who are happy all the time and they have very, very little. But they're so in tune with God. Amen. Amen. The altar's open for those who want to be happy. Amen.